Generally, Dawn is the choice everyone takes. I've taken that choice myself, but I have other things to do. So as I alluded, I've been on a lot of trips in my life. And the last major trip that I took with my wife, we went on a retreat to plan for Lent and all. And halfway back from Death Valley, the car just died on the side of the road. Worked on it an hour and a half to no avail. Got called a tow truck. We had cell service. Used every inch of my 100-mile AAA towing that dumped us in front of a Home Depot in Barstow. Very exciting. Made several phone calls and realized that the Bronco is too big to go on most things that send it home. And so I got to rent a U-Haul and a trailer in Barstow. You should go and rent U-Haul trailers in Barstow. It's very exciting. Used the winch, because the car doesn't move, to put it on the trailer and drove it home, and then drove to Palm Desert that night. It was a great day. What was funny about it is that neither one of us were really very upset about it. And I was like, well, you couldn't do anything about it. So we just kind of took the way that it was. It's only yesterday I got the car to start, a month later. It's taken me a month to figure out this problem. It had an electrical short in the thing. And oh, man, that would be a different sermon. But anyway, the idea of travel is something that we, generally speaking, we all like to do. You know, there were a couple people that I grew up with that the farthest they had traveled from the little town that we were part of was 60 miles. They had gone to Bishop. And that was as far as they had gone. You know, they had 60 miles. They'd never even been to Reno, which was the big city, you know, a whole 110 miles away. And so on a trip, we had an eighth grade graduation trip where two of the people, where we came to Los Angeles and went to Disneyland or something like that. And this was the farthest. Two of my 13 classmates had been away from home, 360 miles. It was a revelation to them. They had never seen that much concrete in their life, or buildings that tall, or anything, or a vista like that, or a mouse that's as big as a man. They had never seen any of these things. They hadn't seen the world in that way. The scripture passage of today is an amazing one in a lot of respects, because the thing that we normally put our time and energy in sermons on it is the idea of Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law and then the casting out of demons that go with that, or the time that Jesus, after this is done, he replenishes his batteries by going out in the wilderness and praying. Those stories are important on their own, but I am going right to the very end and posing a few questions that I found interesting when reading this again for a new time. Why did Jesus move on out? Why did he leave a very successful place? You know, it's kind of, to me, it's somewhat, why didn't he just set up in Capernaum? It looked like a good thing. You know, people were coming to him. John had set up at the Jordan, and had brought, and people knew where he was, so they came to that place to be baptized. Jesus, on the other hand, becomes a moving target in Mark. He doesn't stay in one place. He moves from one place to another place to a third place to a fourth place. He goes all of these different places. He goes across the Sea of Galilee back and forth several times. He is really hard to pin down. And in fact, they said the crowds just kind of tried to follow him at a distance. And at times he was trying to outrun them. I wanted to get over to the other side and they followed me all the way around. And now what are we going to do with them? What are we going to do with these people? He asked the disciples, so what are we going to do with them? You know, on the Sermon on the Mount, he goes, so what are we supposed to do with these people? And they go, well, you should feed them. And they're going, we can't do that. We don't have any food. This whole idea of Jesus being on the move continually in Mark intrigues me. Why? Why didn't he set up his worldwide mission there in that town? I'm sure they would have built a building big enough for it to have him have his evangelical service and his healing services and everything else. It could have all happened in one place. Why move? Why keep rolling along from place to place to place, almost trying to just outdistance the people who he's with. It's an interesting phenomenon here in Southern California where people move around so much. You know, it's like there are a few people who put down roots and end up living in one place for a long time. But, you know, when I look at my own family history, you know, I am the only one left in Southern California of a family that started in Southern California. You know, it's like my family has moved to Northern California. So everyone I'm blood related to is not around me. The only ones that are left are the ones who died here and are buried here. People move. They go from one place to another place to another place. It's not like we're going to put down roots and say, or the majority of people, this is where I am and this is where I'm going to be. A lot of people do that, but the vast majority of people within our own area don't. One of the frustrations that we've had over our ministry here is that we get people in the congregation. We get them really wound into the whole life of the congregation. Be an elder, that'd be great. Oh, how about the moderator of the congregation? Oh, they're so good. And then they come up to us and they go, you know, we decided to retire to Arizona. And you're going, and our job is taking us to Georgia. And I used to, early on in ministry, it used to just be a total deflator, you know, just like, man, we just thought things were getting rolling here, and they're going, and it's an amazing thing. Happens, though, is that someone else comes in. It's not like the door, you know, is closed and only people exit. People come in and out of the life of a congregation. And so, you know, yeah, it's sad that people who we've spent time with, who have given so much energy to our congregation, have moved on to other places. But, you know, God's using them there too. And they speak very fondly of us. And for a lot of them, this was a transformative place for them. And how can we not but be grateful? Living is a journey in which at times we are being chased by the crowd and at times we are chasing the crowd. Let me tell you about this. There are times in life where things seem to be rolling our way, you know, that things are clicking into place and things are moving the way we want them to be and doors are being opened in front of us and we're moving along and things are going really well. Everyone has a season in their life where things go well. Everyone. Normally, people don't think about that in big things. We think a lot about, oh man, the things that went wrong. But really, if you spend some time and you take an inventory of your life, there are times in your life where things go right. Whether it's a child or a job or a relationship or something else, it's going right and things are good. Great. And then there's the other side. Everybody has had a disappointment in their life, some major ones. Everyone does. Even the Queen of England has had a disappointment in her life. You know, it's no one's immune, even the Kardashians, whatever that would be. You know, they have had a disappointment in their life. Everyone. The whole of our human existence is made up of highs and lows, and they come at times that we don't really anticipate. There's part of our own journeying. At times we are leading the crowd, and at times the crowd is following us. There are times that we just don't have enough energy to even get up and move, it feels like. It's just so crashing down around us. But we're moving. We continue to move. Life doesn't stop at any one moment until we have taken in our last breath and are ushered into God's very presence. And what the amazing thing about it is the Apostle Paul really had it nailed when he said, you know, in this life, we see things in the mirror really dimly. We don't really know. We only know a part. We don't fully know. It's only when we get in God's very presence that we fully understand what this is all about. It's then we see things face to face. At this point, we have a reflection of the reality that is dawning upon us, but we really don't fully understand. Jesus moved from place to place. Our lives move from place to place. There are times that it seems like everything will be going well. There are times that it seems that things are not. But we are moving. We are moving just as our Savior moved. And our Savior moved into all kinds of interesting things. If you want, take 45 minutes and read the Gospel of Mark to yourself. And you will find that Jesus was at times in really secure environments where people were just lapping it up for what he was doing. Today is a great example. He goes into the house. A woman may be ill, but he was surrounded by friends. And he was in a great place to be. He does, at the end of this passage, though, decide to go out and face the world that wasn't certain, to move out from town to town to see what was going on. At times in our life, it may seem that we're facing things that aren't certain, that our future is cloudy. We really don't know where we're going to be ending up or what the total outcome of things will be. But you know, journeying is an important thing. It's important that we look out the window on our journey and notice if the trees are growing or if the snow is getting brown. It's important as we journey that we know that we don't do it alone, that people care about us and want the best for us in our lives. There are times in our life where we will be singularly working on something, on a loss. But we are not truly alone. We are companioned by the love of God. We are companioned, at least within this community, by people who care and love us and want the best for us. We are companioned with the knowledge that knows that the person who we claim as our Savior had those ups and downs too. Even Jesus had an off day. And Easter week is truly a good example of having things go from bad to worse to even horrible. But he was never without God's companionship. And neither are we. When we travel with Jesus, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, as the Apostle Paul says. People who know our pain may not know it exactly the way that we know it, but they have empathy to who we are in life because they love us. We are surrounded by people who make a difference in our life. We are surrounded by a faith that says that you can have an up and down time, but I will never desert you nor leave you alone. God has offered his very presence through Jesus Christ for us as our companion in living. And so, as we travel through the book of Mark, as we travel in our own life's journey, we will see that God is our companion all along the way. Will you pray with me? O great companion, you have called us to this place, shown us that your love is made deep and rich through Jesus Christ. Through our own healing and through our own journeying, we ask that we be mindful and our eyes are open to what you're doing around us, the signs of life that show that we are not alone, that you have brought people in our lives who make a difference for us and create us and to be whole. We ask, God, that we would be open and ask for what we need. We ask, God, that our eyes would be open, our ears would be unplugged, to see what you are doing around us in the world, and to give thanks that you are with us. Amen.